Father, this morning where I'm really so convicted with eternity, Lord God. I really pray, Lord God, that the word that I bring will not bring condemnation, Lord, but more a conviction of your love, Lord God, of who you are, what you've done on the cross, what it meant for you to be on the cross for us today, Lord God. That is my heart's desire, Lord, that people really experience and know and understand why you had to die on the cross for us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm very confronted with just the whole thing about eternity. What's going to happen in this world after we die? And where are we going? And in the beginning of the year, there was this lady that when I just started in ministry, that was the first person I had to go and pray for. Her daughter said to me, Tanya, my mother has got so much offense and unforgiveness in her heart that if she must die today, I'm not sure if she would go to heaven or not. And I said, well, I'll just go. And I was praying on the way there. And I got three scriptures. Psalm 23, Psalm 91, and Psalm 103. And I thought, oh my word, is this just the flesh? For those of you who know some scriptures, but it's all to do with when people struggle and in pain. Or is this really a word from God? Anyway, I shared with this lady and we talked and her daughters went outside and her family. And then we just discussed these things. And I gave her these three scriptures and she had three bookmarks. And it was these three scriptures in her Bible. And then we talked about forgiveness, and then eventually she said, but she's ready to forgive. She's ready to forgive. And I asked if she would mind for her children to come in, and they came in, and we just started praying prayers of forgiveness. But she was praying like this in the beginning, Lord, forgive those people for what they've done against me. So I said to her, okay, that's my tiny bit psalm with my Jesus. And she said, Jesus, ek vergewe Sunny. And I said, I forgive Sunny. For when she said, I stole the church's flowers. That's how we started. And eventually the Holy Spirit just came and she started forgiving all these people. And children was crying. I was crying. We all were crying. And then we prayed for healing over her. And I left. But I was very emotional. I got home and my wife was upset with me. It was a Friday afternoon. Why do you come home at 7 o'clock? I tried to explain to her it was the Holy Spirit that just took hold of us. But how do you explain it to your wife when she expected you to be there at 3 o'clock already? And but 6 months later, this lady was in a wheelchair. And this woman came walking to me. And I didn't recognize her. And it was Tanya's mom. God healed her miraculously. She said that the doctor doesn't understand what happened with her. It's just such a miracle. She was driving everywhere. She was going to visit the children where she used to be in the wheelchair. God just healed her. Then last year, my son was sick. And we were in and out of hospital to my father. All these things happened. And we went on holiday. And Tanya phoned me, can I do the funeral? Because her mother suddenly passed away. And I was like, oh, what? I can't believe this. And then Daniel had to go for an operation. And then my father died. I couldn't believe it. Always my father was in hospital. I laid hands on him. I prayed for him. And then the next day, he's up and about again. Many times. There was one time where my father, the doctor said, 24 hours to live. We must come and pray for him. His time is up. And we prayed for him. But I couldn't pray. I just asked my friends, pray for me. And I just had the courage to pray for him again. And I came back and my father came out of hospital 3 weeks, became 4 weeks, became a year, became 2 years. It was just every time that we went through this. And then suddenly my dad died. And then Batuma died. She was 30 years old. Her boy was 12 years old. And we had to do the two funerals back to back. And it was I was really shaken by this. And then a whole year, tough in different ways, but different. I thought, well, we've gone through all of that now. And then suddenly, I cycled home, and I was on my phone with someone, with my Marietta. And then Jaco phoned Lynette and says, I must answer her now. And she said to me, Jaco said to me, you must go, Morris had died. And I was like, no, this can't be. I cannot believe it. And we went to Vilna's house, and thank you, Dion. But I was really thrown by all of this. And then we went to... And we went through all of that. And I'll talk a little bit about that later. And then Wednesday, I heard that Johan was taken up in hospital. And then I thought, oh no, shame, poor guy. That was going through my mind because something about his stomach. That night I received the SMS, he's been diagnosed with leukemia. Thursday morning I prayed for him, and when I prayed for him, he was just holding up his hands. I really believed God was going to heal him. I thought it was going to be a long road, but God was going to heal him. Sunday morning I got the SMS that he died, or the SMSs that he died that night. And then we had to do Morris's funeral on Friday and Johan's funeral on Saturday. And it was really tough for me because just this resistance from the crowd was like this. And I shared this message of eternity with them, because what happened was, and it's her fault, it's your fault, Natasha, Nicola, she was sharing on Tuesday night eternal judgment, of all subjects, eternal judgment. And I'm like sitting there, my two friends died, we're doing the funeral on Friday and Saturday, and now she's doing eternal judgment with us. And she was making all the jokes, and I was praying, God, give me a few jokes, but I'm sorry, I don't have any jokes. The jokes that I have, I can't tell. So I'm not going to tell any jokes this morning. But when Nicola was sharing, and she was making a lot of jokes, and she was very light-hearted, and luckily she's little and she's blonde and she's a girl, so she can talk about eternal judgment and people don't get frightened. But I got frightened because God spoke to me and he said to me that you are going to be held accountable for every word, even to the people that you reach out there. Are you ready? And I still shared, I don't know if you remember that I shared it to you, but it was because what God had spoken into my heart, I got, and I had to leave. I couldn't sit through. Some people came to me, can you pray for me? No, I just stood up and I had to walk. I needed people to pray for me, but I was just so thrown by the whole thing of eternity. And she said about this movie, Russell Crowe in Gladiator, what we do in this life will echo in eternity. What we do in this life will echo in eternity. Everything that we do here will affect how we're going to spend eternity. Whether it's in heaven or in hell. If it's in Jesus, in heaven. If it's without Jesus, in hell. But even if you're in Jesus, what you do will reflect how you're going to live in eternity. You will be in heaven, but it will reflect how you will spend eternity. That was what God was speaking to me, and it's her fault. When Jesus says we must collect treasures for eternity, because we cannot take this stuff with us. These type of scriptures he was sharing with us. 2 Corinthians 5 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether it's good or evil. So we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that we may receive what is due for what we have done in the body, whether it's good or evil. Romans 14 verse 10 says, for we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. And then verse 12 says, so then each of us will give an account of himself to God. So we will all give an account of what we've done in this world. And where's Henu? Hierdie is jou fout. We prayed together and he said, yes, God, so much has been given to us as a church. We will be held accountable for each thing that's been given to us. And I realized, oh my word, Matthew 25, these three people, servants, the one gets 10 talents, the other one gets 5, the other one gets 1. The one with 10 talents brings back another 10 talents, the one with 5, another 5 talents, and the one with the 1 talent didn't do anything with it. Jesus said, the master said to the faithful servants, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. But then the one who didn't do anything with what was given to him, he says, you wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I've not sown, and I gather where I scatter no seed. And then in verse 30, and they cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be a weeping and a gnashing of teeth. And I'm just, and every time I'm praying about this, where are the people going who do not have Jesus? Because have you ever asked yourself this question, God, who is a good God, would He condemn people to hell? Why would a good God do that? Why would He do this, send people to hell, if He's such a good God, if He loves us so much? But Revelation 21 verse 8 is one of those scriptures that when Michael came to share with us, that lawyer, many people got really thrown by this scripture, but I'm going to read it as well this morning. Revelation 21 verse 8 says, "But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, and for the murderers and sexual immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." Revelation 20 verse 12 says, "And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they have done." And then verse 15 says, "And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." Then Matthew 13 verse 42 says, "Throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be a weeping and a gnashing of teeth." That word, "there will be a weeping and gnashing of teeth," comes 8 times in the book of Matthew. It says there will be a weeping and a gnashing of teeth. And I want to ask you, do you love people enough to warn them? Do you love people enough to warn them that there's a chance, not there's a chance, that without Jesus they will go and there will be a gnashing and a weeping for eternity? Because whatever we do here, until eternity, we will be with that. Eternity is not 10 years, it's not 100 years, it's forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. What we do here will reflect how we're going to spend eternity. What about the poor people who do not know Jesus? Do you have a heart for those people so that they don't have to sit in eternity and be tortured for eternity? Romans 10 verse 14 says, "How will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in Him of whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." It's not my responsibility to preach, it's all of us. We all have been given the responsibility to share the gospel, to bring the good news. You'll be blessed when you bring the good news. But I also want to ask you this question. What about the hypocrites? Because it says the hypocrites will also end in the fiery furnace in hell, where it burns until eternity, the hypocrites. But the hypocrites are those guys who believe, "I'm a Christian." They say, "I am a Christian," because Matthew 7 says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of the Father who is in heaven." And then, so you'll see where I'm getting to now. And I want to ask you, I want to ask myself, can I be a hypocrite? Lord, am I a hypocrite? Lord, I hope I'm not a hypocrite. Show me if I'm a hypocrite, because I really don't want to end in that place. But then verse 24 says, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them." So if you hear the words and does them, you will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Now, what are these words? What are the words of God? Here are the words. Psalm 1 verse 2 says, "Blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on it day and night." If this is your delight, you can have surety when you read this word, when it becomes part of you, when you meet Jesus through the word of God, you can know that you know. I want to encourage you in that note as well. That's why we do Bible school. We don't do Bible school because whatever we do in this life will reflect how we will spend eternity. Is it not worth your while to do Bible school? To learn what the Word of God is saying? Because if you miss it, you miss it big. You miss it until eternity. forever and ever and ever and ever and ever if you miss it. And this is why I really believe the Word of God, and to spend time in the Word and to know the Word is so important, to know what God wants from us and to do what God is saying to us. John 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That we know that when we spend time and we ask the Holy Spirit to show God, we will know God when we read the Word. But not only to read the Word and to hear the words. Luke 11:28 says, blessed are those who hear the Word of God and keep it. So not only doing the Word or hearing it, but also keep the Word that it is said. So I just think we should spend all the time that we have studying the Word and ask God, Lord, help me to become more like what you're saying here in the Word. John 8 verse 31 says, Jesus said, if you abide in my Word, you are truly my disciple. So if you say you're a disciple of God, you should be abiding in his Word. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. James 1 verse 22 says, be doers of the Word, not hearers only, deceiving yourself. And then John 5 verse 24 says, Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my Word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. So, the key to eternity is this thing. Do we spend time reading this Word? Do we spend time meditating on the Word? Do we spend time, do you delight yourself in the Word of God? Because this is the key to eternity, what it says in this Word. But not only to hear, but also to do what it says. And then, when Nicholas said that, I just realized that it doesn't help me to know the Word if I don't do it. God is going to keep me accountable for the things. When he says, go and make disciples, I'm going to stand before him and he's going to say to me, where are the disciples? I said, you be baptized. Why weren't you baptized? There's many things that the Bible says to us. He says, pray without ceasing. Why didn't you pray? I said, do not neglect the fellowship of believers. Why did you neglect that? When I said, bring in your tithes and offerings, why didn't you do that? Didn't you trust me? Didn't you have belief in me? Don't you believe in the promises I have for you? Because it's all written in the Word. I want to say to you that not only the Word, but our words, the words that we speak, are the keys to eternity. I just realized this some time ago, that we have the power to release almost eternity through the things that we speak. And this is why I'm saying it. Romans 10 verse 8 says, I don't know if it's up there, but it says, the Word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. So the Word is in our mouth and it's in our heart. So when we read the Word, it comes in our heart and we release the Word through our mouth. That is the Word of faith that we proclaim. So if you confess, so if you speak with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God is raised from the dead, you'll be saved. So if you worry about salvation, heaven or hell, it's about confessing the Word and believing your heart. That's it. It's a free gift. You come before God, say, Lord, I need you. I repent of my wicked ways, but I confess that you are my Lord. And I believe it in my heart. That's the key to eternal life. But then verse 10 says, with the heart one believes and is justified. So your heart is justified. With the mouth one confesses and is saved. So you are saved by the words that you speak. You speak yourself into salvation. Lord, I believe in Jesus. Some time ago, I made an altar call and I said something like, if you must die tonight, are you sure you'll go to heaven? And someone came to me and said, I'm not sure. And this person, I know, because I know that person so well. I know she knows. She knows all the scripture. But the thing was, she didn't speak it. She didn't speak the words. That's why she was doubting, because she never spoke the words saying, God, I believe. So when we speak ourselves into salvation. I want to encourage you No, I don't want to encourage you. I want to urge you. Read the Word of God. And when you pray, pray the Word of God. There is power when you do that. When you release the Word of God. Father, thank you that no weapon shall form against me. That you are in the world is, he that is in the world is bigger than you are in me. Father, thank you that you are, I'm getting confused now, but that you speak God's word from your mouth. Lord, thank you that he that is in the world, that in me is bigger than he that is in the world. See, I need to repeat my word a bit more. Thank you, Dion. That's my joke. No, we can break the ice a little bit. So, but there's also this thing where when we read the word, that we don't read it like, this is very difficult for me, but that we read it a lot. Look at where I'm starting. Therefore, O prostitute, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God. Yeah, this is quite a rough, this is in Ezekiel. I must read it later on. I'm just going to open it there. It's a word for definitely. I hope it's not for me. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. If you want faith, speak the word of God. That releases faith. Your faith builds when you release the words of God. Don't get it. Don't miss it like I do. That doesn't build faith. But faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. I just know sometimes we speak death. It's, I don't know if you've ever experienced it. You're in a good mood and someone comes and they complain. And the next moment you go, ugh. They release words of death upon you because they need to complain. Immediately just pray and start praying the word of God that you can lift your heart, lift your spirit again. Because we can either speak life or we can speak death. Caleb and Joshua, there was 12 spies. Moses wanted to go into the promised land. He sent 12 guys out to go and look at the promised land. They see all the good things in the promised land, but they also see the giants. 10 come back and they release a negative word. They say, these giants are too big for us. And they release doubt into the hearts of people because of what they spoke. They didn't go into the promised land. 2 men came back and they spoke life. They said, we can take these guys. Only the 2 of them came into the promised land. The ones who heard the negative words, the words of doubt, and the ones who spoke them, never came into the promised land. But the ones who released the words went into the promised land. The same with David. When David faced Goliath, he came to Goliath and he said to him before the time, now he's a little guy like this and Goliath is probably as tall as that. And he says to him, you come to me with a javelin and a spear. I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Today I will take off your head and we will have victory in the name of Jesus. That was faith. He was releasing faith through his mouth when he came to him. Esau, Jacob and Esau, the 2 brothers. Esau came back. He was hungry and he said, oh, just give me some of your stew. And his brother said, but if you want the stew, just give me your firstborn, right? And he said, yes, you can have it because what can I do with it anyway? So he released words, negative words, and God hated Esau because of the words that he spoke. So I just want to say to you, words are for us to connect with God. Don't pray in your mind. Your prayers won't have power. Pray aloud. Pray in confidence. Say, Lord, I thank you that you are a good God, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that I can speak healing over my family, Lord. Speak with boldness. We connect with God. God honors that faith when we speak to him. Words are also to connect with people. I think for when we speak to people, be very careful with the words that we choose. So I just believe we must pray much more because we many times speak so many things that brings destruction. Because every disconnect with people, there was words involved. Think of that. Every time you had a fight with someone, it was because of the words that person had spoken. We must be very careful. I just want to keep this place here because I really want to see what happened to this prostitute. On that note, Matthew 12, verse 36 says, I tell you, on that day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. So, then in the two verses before that, verse 33 says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by the fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. The tree is your heart. If your heart is evil, the fruit will come from your mouth. Evil thought, words will come from your mouth. If your heart is good, good words will come from your mouth. So you can judge by what you're saying is the state of your heart. Do you have, when you swear, what is happening in your heart? Then in James 3, it says the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. But no, then verse 8 says, but no human can be tamed. Can tame the tongue. It is restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. Brothers, these things ought not to be so. So, once again, standing before God, giving account on the words that I've said, I just realized, oh man, I need to pray more. And if there is bad things in your heart, if there's bitterness or unforgiveness or sin in your heart, I've got good news for you. Repent. That's how you clean your heart. Just come, God, Lord, forgive me, because if I've looked at a woman that I shouldn't have looked at, Lord, forgive me, Lord God, that I've been nasty to people, Lord, forgive me that I've spoken a negative word. Just be bold to come before God and repent. Say, God, I forgive. Lord, I forgive that person for speaking against me, Lord. Just do that. That's how you cleanse your heart. In John 16 verse 7, Jesus said it's to your advantage that he goes away, because he will send us a helper, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will come and convict us concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. The Holy Spirit comes to convict us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. If there is any of that in your heart, repent. Jesus came and he said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. We just go on our knees and we say, Lord, I repent, because we must guard our hearts. What happens in here, our sin will come from here. It will actually come from here. When you start thinking of sin with the youth guys, they're not here, but I was talking to them about sin. And I said, where does sin start? And the one guy said, no, it starts in his mind. And I said, then what happens? And he thought about it and he says, yeah, then he sins anyway. But isn't it true? We have the sin in our mind and we think of it, and then we think, and then it comes forth, and then you do it. And then you feel so convicted afterwards. And I say to them, this is what you need to do. When these that thoughts come, you say, Lord, this filthy thought in my mind, I just bring it before you, and I repent of that thought in the name of Jesus. And Jesus comes and he cleans your mind as far as the east is from the west. Proverbs 4 says, when we listen to his words and when we spend time in the word of God, God comes and he cleans our heart. He says, my son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart. Keep the words of God within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Joyce Meyer said, she said that in this one translation of the Bible, I can't remember what it was, that God is our healer, and the word is his medicine. Isn't it amazing? God is our healer, and the word, when we speak the word, when you pray for healing, speak the words of healing over yourself or over the person, you will receive healing in the name of Jesus. And then, for they are life to those who find them and healing to their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, from it flow the springs of life. So I just want to say to you, I believe the devil's assignment is for our hearts to be hardened. When our heart is hardened, we speak death. When we speak death, we speak destruction over ourselves. So keep your hearts. If there's sin, repent. If there's unforgiveness ask God to forgive you or forgive those people. If you need to lay things down, do it. If you want to get offended, bring it. Go and speak to that person so that you guard your heart. If there is offense, don't take it up. Guard your heart. That is the spring of life when you keep your heart. Now, I want to just finish off with this whole thing about with me and Morris, Pastor Morris. When Nicholas said what we do in this life will reflect in eternity, there was something to me that he was like an older brother, but also like a father to me in many ways. And after Bible school, we sometimes spoke until 12 o'clock that night. And we like walk out of there at 9 o'clock, and then Vona would say, "Come, you must go home. You must go into bed." And then or many times I would phone him, and we would speak on the phone. And he says, "Brother, let's pray, let's pray." And he would just pray right there, or he asked me, "Please pray for me." And so he was a man consecrated in prayer. His brother or sister said he was on the roof, and they came and said, "Mo, what are you doing on the roof?" And he said, "I'm not hearing God. I tried to get some height so I can at least hear God." So that was the passion that man had for God. The people in his church said it's too far for them to walk to church in Nomzamo. Like, let's say 1 kilometer, maybe 2 kilometers. So he walked 8 kilometers from his house to Nomzamo so they don't have an excuse not to come to church. That's the dedication that he had. This is the example that he had. But then he was praying for me and for our church, and I would share some of the challenges that we had in our church, and he would pray for me. And then what he started doing was from his house, he would walk around our school praying, and then he would go to Nomzamo praying all the way. When we sit in the spur, he would lead the waiter to Jesus. When we go to Nomzamo, he couldn't talk to me. He was always leading people to Christ. He was just always leading people to Christ. That was his heart. His heart was so for God. And it was such an amazing example for me, just this man's heart for Jesus, that he wouldn't want anyone to go to hell. That was just his heart. He just had so much love and compassion for people around him. And, you know, Vona, that movie Gladiator, I don't know if you've seen it, but to me, Morris was a general in the world that became a slave for Jesus, that became a gladiator in the spirit. That was the man for me. And you know, that morning, that Tuesday morning, I woke up crying. My wife held me like this, and I was just so, my heart was so sore because there was something amazing that was starting to happen that I really believe God had done with us, our church, and with your church in Stable Ministries. And I know God is going to do great things, but I was just so grieved and I was crying. And God just gave me a word on Stephen. And he said, as Morris was killed by stones, Stephen was also killed by stones. And the word was that he, Stephen, was full of the Holy Spirit. And that was Morris. He was full of the Holy Spirit. He gazed into heaven and he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, saying, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And normally when you read, Jesus is always sitting next to the Father, but here he's standing next to the Father, and he's saying, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." But Morris, because he was so in love with Jesus, he was so in love with people. John 15, verse 13 says, "Greater love has no one than this, than someone lay down his life for his friends." And I was thinking a lot about it. That wall that was there, he was there. Many other contractors that I know would have sat there, say, "You guys dig, I've got a phone call to make." He laid down his life for his friends. He wouldn't stand in harm's way. The owner of the house was also his friend. And he was so worried because of that wall, because of the children. And he said, "Don't let your children play in the background. We must fix this wall." I spoke to a guy that I knew from my BC days, Fernando. And Fernando was in front of your house. And he just said, "Man, I'm so upset because I warned Morris not to build that wall. There's going to be trouble there." And, you know, but his heart, he would lay down his life for his friends. 1 John 3:16 says, "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our friends." And, you know, when he was lying then, Dion, thank you for coming with me, because I was so shaken then. I really appreciate just how you supported me there. But he was lying then, and that morning or that afternoon at 1 o'clock, he still sent me an SMS on the tattoo of his back because of, I don't know if you know the story, but we just joked about his tattoo on his back with a motorcycle with a devil on it. And I saw him lying there with his tattoo, and I just experienced a peace of God that surpasses all understanding. And I knew these huge angels were standing there, but I also knew that the angel of death was there as well. And it was to me, I could move from here into eternity. I could just do that. I don't know. I can't explain it to you, but I was so thrown by eternity. And God spoke to me a word. He said, the seed must die for hours to come forth. And I went to go and look it up. But the scripture is in John 12, verse 23. And Jesus said, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. And I really believe with all my heart, all of this will bring a huge harvest for Jesus. This is what I really believe, that God is going to turn this thing to the best. Because God is a good God. God is an awesome God. And I want to encourage you with this. Hebrews 12. We are surrounded by a great crowd of witnesses. And Morris is now one of those witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings to us so closely. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Don't get tired. Continue running. Don't neglect the fellowship of believers. Come together in small groups. Come together in prayer. Come together in sermons. Don't separate yourself. Paul had this vision when we were praying about the sheep, and it's also the sheep on the outside that scatters, but it's always those sheep that gets taken out by the wolves, the ones that is on the side, but the ones who are in the middle. And this morning when we're praying, I just realized when all the sheep are together, the wolves will stand out. But when we are scattered, we don't see the wolves, but it's the ones on the outside that gets taken out by the wolves. Also, when we prayed on Friday morning, I realized I saw a picture of a hand. And for those guys from the Strand, wanneer jy oval klap, you put your hands together like this. If one finger stands out like this, you'll break your finger. Or if you want to punch someone in the face, you don't do it with a finger like this. You do it like that, because that's maximum impact. And we don't have maximum impact because the fists don't come together. I really believe this is what God is saying to us. Let us race the race of endurance that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And then consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. And then, if your struggle against sin, in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. So if you're struggling with sin, you must resist until the blood comes, because God really wants to sort that thing out. So with my whole sermon, I just want to ask the ushers to hand out the emblems for the Nachmal. Communion, thank you. Anyway, that in light of this, that we are going to be judged according to every word that we speak and everything that we do according to the word of God. Jesus said to us, a new commandment I give you. This new commandment, this is the commandment that he gives you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. This is the seriousness that I really believe God is speaking to us, that we must love one another. By this, all people will know that we are his disciples if we have love for one another. This is my message to you this morning, that I really believe we're going to stand before God on this thing, the love that we had for one another according to the word of God. That we walk according to the word, and that we love as God wanted us to have. Because the other word, that this is the final word that I had that after Morris's, that Tuesday morning, thank you, Dion, was Simon Peter said to Jesus, after he spoke about the love, Lord, where are you going? And Jesus answered him, where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow afterwards. And I just realized that where Morris is now, I cannot follow him, but I will follow him. I will follow him, but so will you. So will each of us. Each one of us, like Johan, he's 42 years old. He had a week. His child is 5 years old. A week, and it was over for him. Morris was 48. Petuma was 30. My father was 78. It can happen to any of us any time. And I want to ask you, are you ready? Are you ready to stand before God? Are you ready to engage Him? Say, Lord, yes, I'm ready. I'm looking forward to this. Because Corinth and Boehm said, are you afraid to die? Remember that for a child of God, death is only a passing through to a wonderful new world. And I think this is the one thing for us as believers, that we can know that when someone dies in Christ, it's amazing. The worst place in heaven is still much better than hell. And he always says this, and I love it when he says that. That if you were a terrible Christian, but you believe in Christian in Jesus, you will have an amazing time in heaven. But I also believe there's going to be something that when we come and God says to you, well done, good and faithful servant, that you are, thank you, Lord. It was tough, but thank you, Lord, that you were always there with me. And I think this is the word that I want to give to you. And I really believe the key for me is the word of God. It's the words that we speak and the love that we have for people. But the love will come because we are cleansed by the word of God. We spend time in the word. We pray and we ask God for love. Because I want to tell you, in your own strength, it's impossible. You cannot love people. Ask me. It's very difficult to love people. But when you ask God, God, give me love. And that's the prayer I pray probably the most. God supernaturally comes and gives us love for all people. Because God's heart is for all people. God intensely loves all people. But He wants His love to be demonstrated to people around us. And this is, you know, I mean, it was Checkers, isn't it? He would sing to all those people about Jesus. He would sing to all of them. All the rows would stop and look at this man singing to the ladies behind the tools. He would encourage wherever he would go. He would always have a great word to say to someone. He would always love people and draw them in. If you were religious, he would love you. If you were in the occult, I mean, he told me a story of a lady that was a Shangoma, and they built a house for her. But in one of his services, he came and she slapped him through the face. And he walked out. She walked out and she came back and she slapped him again. And then she walked out and she slapped him 3 times. And I said, what did you do? I said, no, brother, I loved her. And then he said, then he built a house for this lady. And she said, you wouldn't believe who it was. It was that Shangoma lady. And I gave Maxine's bed for this lady still. I said, did you at least lead her to Christ? He said, brother, I can't remember. That was the love that he had for people. But I'm sure he led it to Christ, because he led everyone and I knew to Christ. You can ask Pastor Jeremiah. He just such a heart for people. He was so in love with people. And this is the word that I want to leave with you. And I think as we take communion, that we just ask God, Lord, where am I? And Lord, I want that love, Lord. And I want this desire for your word, that you cleanse my heart. That the words that I speak will be blessing and not cursing. Let's stand. Yes, Father, we thank you, Lord, that we, Lord God, are the body of Christ, Lord. Father, thank you, Lord, as we take communion, Lord, that we can know, Lord, that we belong to you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you have put us all together, Lord. Father, thank you, Lord, that each one of us is so special before you, Lord. And each contribution is so special before you. Lord God, that everyone who is here, Lord God, has such an amazing gifting and calling and contribution to bring to your body, Lord. And Father, I pray, Lord God, that we as the body will value each one, Lord. Lord, even when I sing with a false note, Lord God, that you still value it because I'm singing to you, Lord. And Father, when we do when we spend time together as friends, you value that, Lord God, because it is, we honor you, Lord God, because your name is glorified through all of that, because we come together as brothers and sisters. Lord, and Lord Jesus, when you said in your word, my mother and my brothers and sisters are those who do my will. Lord God, I pray, Lord God, that we will become your brothers and sisters and your children, your sons and daughters, Lord, because we do your will, Lord God. We do the words spoken and written in the word of God. Lord, I pray, Lord God, that each one of us will be transformed by the word of God. Father, I pray that you'll give us a hunger for your word, Lord. That we as a body can be doers of the word and not hearers only, Lord God. That when we stand before you, Lord God, we can stand before you with in confidence, Lord. Because we know that the things that we've done in the past, Lord, has been forgiven on the cross, Lord. Because you've paid the price on the cross, Lord. You've paid the price for all sin, all disease, all sickness, even death, Lord God. You paid that price on the cross, Lord. And when we repent, you say as far as the east is from the west, Lord God, you have forgiven all our sins, Lord. Jesus, thank you that we are part of the body of Christ, Lord. Let's eat. Yes, Lord, and I thank you, Lord, that you... Yes, Lord God, that you have given us the blood. Father, thank you, Lord, that by the stripes on the back, you are healed. And I just experience that there are people here that needs healing. If there's anyone that needs God to heal them, I just want to ask you to raise your hand. If there's anyone that needs healing. Thank you, Lord God. We just want to pray the blood of Jesus, Lord God, over those people. Father, thank you, Lord, that your Spirit is here, Lord God. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is a freedom, Lord God. Freedom from sickness and disease. Lord, thank you, Lord, by your words, Lord God, we will be healed. That your word brings healing, Lord. And Father, we can speak in the name of Jesus, Lord. We can release healing on those people, Lord, by the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the healing. Father, thank you, Lord, that there's power in the blood, Lord. There's power in the blood, Lord God. And Father, thank you, Lord, that we can know that as we drink, Lord God, that you have paid the price on the cross, Lord. And that you have come to cleanse us, Lord, to make us a new people, Lord, a holy priesthood, Lord. To build a temple, Lord God. Because you want us to be holy, Lord, because you are holy, Lord. And we cannot sort out ourselves, Lord God, but we can only come to you and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me of my sins. And only then you can come and make us whole and make us clean and make us holy before you. And Lord, when we sin again, we just come before you in humbleness and say, Lord, please forgive me. And you forgive us again. And you might ask, how many times do you do this? And I want to say to you, 70 times, 7 times a day. Because God, that's God's heart. His heart is grace. He says, whoever calls upon my name will be saved. Whoever calls upon my name, whoever asks me, I will touch. If you need a touch from God, just call out his name. Just say, Jesus, touch me, Lord. Jesus, touch me now, Lord. Jesus, touch me now. Let's drink. Just while every eye is closed, I just want to give you the opportunity that maybe when I ask you about eternity, you became cold and you think, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. And you are very unsure about eternity. Maybe you've not received Jesus Christ as your Savior, or maybe you've backslidden. Now I want to say to you that salvation is a gift of God. That is grace. You don't have to do anything, but it's a gift. You can just come and receive the gift. Jesus is holding out his hand for you if you want to receive the gift, but you must come and fetch it. He will not bring it to you because he brought it to you on the cross. And if you want to be sure that if you die today or in this week, But when you stand before Jesus, you can smile because He has paid the price, because you have accepted the free gift of grace, the free gift of eternal life. If there's anyone like that who wants to receive that gift, because you want to be sure when you stand before Jesus, I just want you to slip up your hand that we can pray for you. Is there anyone like that? This decision could influence your eternity. It can influence how you're going to spend eternity. Don't be shy now and be sorry later. Rather, slip up your hand and say, "That is me. Can someone pray for me?" It's not what you do, it's what the Spirit of God will do for you. Is there anyone that want to respond on that word? Jesus had said, "If you deny Him before people, I will deny you before my Father." I want to ask you again, is there anyone here that don't want to be denied before the Father? Are you sure that when you die today, that you'll go into heaven? And why are you sure? Why are you sure? Why do you know that you will go into heaven? Is there anyone that want to respond to that? Then I want to, if there's anyone that you know you need to forgive, or you know you need to repent of sin, or you want to make a new stand for Jesus, I want you to just come forward, that you can come and pray and sign an agreement with someone. Some of the facilitators, if some of the facilitators can just come forward. And I want to invite you to come forward now. And if you are speaking words of judgment, or you're speaking very negative words, you are very critical. You're always judging people. You're always speaking negatively about people. When you see people, you talk bad things about them. It just comes. You can't help yourself. You speak negative words all the time. God wants you to cleanse your heart. He says, "I want your tree. I want to remove the tree in your heart and give you a new tree, a good tree, so that the words that you speak will be words that brings life and not words that brings death in your life." Is there anyone that want to respond on that word, that you know the words that you speak is very negative and you want to respond on that? I just want you to invite you to